Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Yotet. And we're holding right at the top of the daf. But I just want to remind you of the complexities of the issues that we're talking about. We had a major machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer as to how to understand the words bibigdoba, lo yochol mochra bibigdoba. So it seems to be saying that once this Alma Ivriya was Yoitza, the father loses his reshus, and he can no longer sell her. But that's the question. What does that mean, Bevigdoba? Does it mean a lotion of Begida, or does it mean a lotion of Beget, meaning Prisata Talit, which, by the way, some suggest is what we do essentially at the wedding where the husband covers over the face of the kala with the little veil, that is begeter bevigdoba. Okay, I don't know, these are achronim. But in any event, the concept is clearly very, very different. If you learn bevigdoba, is basically built around the way that the pasuk is written and not the way that it's pronounced. So then it's a lashon, seems to be a lashon of begida. Actually, this is machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, which direction. Let's just take that sense. So if it's begida, then it means that I did something treacherous to my daughter. Well, getting my daughter married is not treacherous, but selling my daughter as a maid is treacherous. So then it would mean that a father who gave his sold his daughter once cannot sell her again. So that would mean that ein shifchut acha shifchut. But if you learn like Rabbi Akiva, again, this is Rashi's approach, if you learn like Rabbi Akiva, then what the pasuk is saying is that once you gave her over to someone who spread his cloak over her, so to speak, the talit over her, so then you cannot allow to sell her, which is the exact opposite. Now, the problem that we had was that it says beferish that in the event that his daughter is an almona, that nonetheless he would be able to sell her to a kohen gadol, because even though you're supposed to be able to do the yi'ud in order for the sale to be effective, theoretically speaking, a kohen gadol can do the yi'ud. Why? Because on these Isur lave kuhuna, kiddushin would be chal. So therefore, though he's not allowed to, but it still would be included under the general idea of im lo ya'ada. Okay, that's where we had gotten up to. Now the question is, how in the world could a father ever be makabel kiddushin on a child who is an almana, unless she had been married first? I mean, you can't be a widow without being married. And therefore, it must be that he had already accepted kiddushin for her, and that nonetheless, he's able to sell her. But I thought we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, having once accepted kiddushin, if she gets out of that, either by death or by divorce, he can never sell her again. So how do we explain it? So we answered yesterday, now this was a pop down into a whole different issue, that Aliba de Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the idea of the Yi'ud is not based on the original money that the Odin paid the father. In which case, if the Yi'ud is actually achieved in the relationship between the Adon and the daughter, then the father doesn't have any part of it. And therefore, in the Pasuk, when it says, Asher lo yada, the idea over there that would be kivan shibigdoba, bogdupa, is irrelevant. He didn't do anything. He actually never accepted this condition. And therefore, Aliba Rabbi Akiva, there would be no beget, because the beget came directly between the two of them, not through the father. The problem is, and this is what we left off with yesterday, that there are two approaches to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So according to the first approach, that's absolutely correct. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Ma'ot HaRishonot were not given over by the Odin to the father as Kiddushin. They were given over as a purchase. Later on, there's a separate agreement between the Odin and the girl about the Yehud. We'll go into that Machlokas later, but right now let's just take it at face value. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, we can get away with saying that the father played no role in her becoming an almana, because he was never a participant in the kiddushin, that is to say, in the yiud, right? But the question that we left off with yesterday was, how about according to Reb Nachman? Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says that even Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda agrees that the Ma'ot HaRishonot are given for purposes of Kiddushin, which would mean that the father is involved in the Yi'ud. And if that's the case, then Alibi to Rabbi Akiva, he would never be able to sell her again if her husband, that is to say the Odon, which was, if he dies, then how would the father have the rishus to sell her since he was already bibigdoba, he gave her to someone who spread his beged over her? That was the question that we had left off with yesterday. So let's start right here at the top of the daf with that question again and see it inside. Ask the Gemara. According to Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Amar Afilu Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda, Mo'ot HaRishonot LeKiddushin Nitnu. If you learn, as we're about to see, the other approach to Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda, according to which even he agrees that the father is involved in the original Kiddushin, and that the money that was given to the father at the time of the purchase was indeed given with the intent to have it serve as the Kesef Kiddushin in the event of Yud, in which case we don't have any excuse for how in the world a Braita could discuss a girl who is an Almana, which means she had to have been married, and now the father is able to accept her, to sell her even to a Kohen Gadol. He can't sell her at all, because it means that the father was already involved in the original marriage. And according to Rabbi Akiva, a father cannot sell a daughter after having once given her to marriage, even if she is still a ketana and an almana from that wedding. So how the heck are you going to explain the Braita if that's the case, the way Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak is learning? And the obvious answer, the extremely obvious answer, is that who's to say it's going like Rabbi Akiva? The point of the Braita is it's going Alibi to Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer, remember, said that the word bibigdoba meant when he acted treacherously to her, right? Betrays her. Bogadba. But that's only if he had sold her as an Amma. So who says we're talking about selling her as an Amma? Let's talk about over here. The father had accepted Kiddushin, regular Kiddushin. Everything's fine. The guy died. Now, the child, who is still a ketana, is in his rishus, and he wants to accept, he wants to now sell her as an amma. Well, you never betrayed her. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you actually can sell a daughter after having accepted kiddushin for when that kiddushin didn't work out because the guy died. And therefore, it works out very well. As a matter of fact, it works out so well that is a little bit cuckoo why the Gemara thought this was a problem. Like, why did we take for granted that everything has to work out Alibi Rabbi Akiva in his approach to bibigdoba, which sounds a little bit weird anyway, bibigdoba spreading a talit over her, just like the chuppah. I mean, why wouldn't we have originally understood immediately that this is going Alibi Rabbi Eliezer? And indeed, Rabbi Eliezer holds there's no problem in a person selling his daughter as an Amma, if the original relationship that he had brought her into was through Kiddushin, and it failed. So why didn't we understand that automatically? So Rashi gives an interesting approach. Rashi's approach is that if you recall, Rabbi Eliezer was involved in that tremendous controversy, which was the Tanur Shelach Nai. And he had been Mekabel in the case where you had a tanur, and it was cut into various pieces, and then it was put together again. There's all machlokas over there, whether it could be put together again in terms of tuma, and so on. And since he had been mekabel from his Rebbe, one halacha, the Chachamim held another halacha, and he refused to give up on his Kabbalah, so they put him into Nidui. It was a horrible story. Anyway, but because of that, he was called Shamuti, which according to most means he was, not Stam, he was a follower of Beit Shammai, but he was Shamuti. She was put into Cheren. So therefore, Rashi assumes that that's why the Gemara wouldn't consider L'chatchila that it was going Alibi Rabbi Eliezer. Now we see we have no choice. So fine. So the Braita was going a little bit of Eliezer because there's no other possibility for us to come out with a case where the father was involved in the Kiddushin that he would be able to sell his daughter for Shifchus. That only works out in Libra de Rebbe Eliezer. Therefore, says the Gemara, according to Reb Nachman, Vayitzchak Mukim Lach to Rebbe Eliezer, the Omer LeShifchut Achas Shifchut Hu Delomatz Mizavinma. The only time he can't sell is if he was Bogedba, meaning he had sold her as a Shifcha. Aval LeShifchut Achas Rishut Motzim Mizavinma. Masha Imkein, according to Rebbe Eliezer, he most definitely can sell her as a Shifcha Achar Ishut. And therefore, that's the way that we're going over here. And there's no problem whatsoever in having the case work out. He had been Mekabel Kedushin. His daughter ended up being a widow from that Kedushin. And now he wants to sell her as an Oma. She's still a Ketana. And that's perfectly acceptable according to Rebbe Eliezer Shita. So that concludes that very, very profound question, which is all over Shas, about the issue of do we follow the aim Lamikra, or do we follow the aim of the Misera? Meaning, do we take a look at the most fundamental basis of Drosha, is the question of it's being read in a particular way, or is it the way that it's actually written down in the Sefer Torah, which is often very different from the way that it's pronounced. Now we move on to another very fascinating question. We've taken for granted, it's just amazing how the mind keeps expanding with the possibilities here of the interrelationship between the dinim of the cases of the Oma Ivriya and its implications for Kedushin across the board, in terms of the father's zechus, in terms of Kedusha Kesev, and all of the other things that we've compared the issue of Oma Ivriya to normal Kedusha, which becomes very complex. Once we take into consideration the Yi'ud, we now have another thing that we have to consider in terms of Yi'ud. It seems to imply, I mean, think about this. A guy can sell his daughter into a situation of Kedusha. But how did that particular Kedushin, by the case of the Oma Ivriya, establish itself? Well, even though she's a Ketana, there is a relationship of the Odin to the Ketana that was defined initially as Amus, and now he goes ahead and changes that into marriage without the rights that were given by the father. The father may be yelling at him, I don't want you to marry her. It makes no difference, right? Now let's consider the other side of it. The other side of it is that the Torah also, strangely enough, says, Im libno yadena. Libno yadena. Since when does a father have any rights whatsoever to create kedushin for his child? So what does that mean, Im libno yadena? For a female, yes, that's the zechus of the father and the daughter. But over here, we're saying that the Odin that bought this girl can actually cause her to be Mekudeshes to his son. But is that possible? So there are two ways of understanding that. One is that by whatever mechanism he would have been able to give her Kesef Kedushin that would have been taken from the original monies that were given at the time of the purchase. So again, that was a machlokas about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Does that mean the original money at the time that it was given was considered to be for Kedushin? Or is it through the mechila of the last Shava Pruta of that money, which is the Kedushin? But whatever the din is. So one way of understanding, if the father wishes to use that money on behalf of his son, and the son, of course, is old enough to be married, and the son wants to be married and wants to use the kesef of the father, that's also good. But the other way of understanding it is literal, that a father actually has the reshus to create a kedushin for his son if that son is a katan. Whoa, that would be a shattering innovation. Boy, Reish Lakish, this is what Reish Lakish wants to know. Mahu shmiyaed adam livno katan. Is it possible to create yud for a underage child, because after all, it says, Im libno yadena. And that's all it said. Beno, it didn't say what age Beno. It just says Beno, and Beno means koldu. Oh, perhaps the Torah is relying on the fact that you will assume that since the Beno is an alternative to him, oh, libno yadena, right? So maybe it means that the Beno is doing it today, in the same way that we understand that the father could only achieve this state of yid if he is a gadol, mahu gadol, af Beno gadol. So it would certainly mean that the child would have to be of age, and it's not introducing a brand new idea of this concept of giving a child the kedushin. Amar Rabbi Zeira, I'll prove it to you. Okay, take a look at the pasuk, and this is a very fascinating pasuk. It uses the word ish. So listen to how it uses the word ish. The ish asher yinaf et eshet ish. Interesting. So if a man, now that man means and not a child, if a man, meaning a mature man, commits adultery with the wife of a man, what else is she a wife of? A woman? A wife of an animal? Obviously of a man. So what's it coming to tell me? That she needs to be the wife of a mature man and not of a katan. Well, okay. That's exactly what the Braita points out. Since the Torah says, ish, only if a man sleeps with a married woman, that means if a katan sleeps with a married woman, it's not going to be chayev. Why would I think he's chayev if a katan is putter anyway? Because we find, as Tosfos says, we find an idea of punishment that has to do with adultery, or that has to do with sexual issues, even in the case where there's no chiyev, mi ikradin, let's say an animal. Somebody sleeps with an animal. So why would we be so killed the animal? So that means that there's a concept when it comes to issues of arayas in which we would nonetheless kill an animal. So maybe we would kill the katan, even though he's not chayev in terms of the normal onshin. Okay, comes on the pasuk to say there's no such thing. Only a male who is an adult would be chayev. So prata katan. But then the pasuk says, asher yinaf et eshet ish. So now, this woman needs to be married to a man. Well, that comes to tell me that if she's married to a child, prat leshet katan. Now, if you tell me that it is possible for a man to make kedushin for his child, his male child, through yiud, then it is possible to be no eif, an eshet of a katan. Somebody wants to commit adultery with a child's wife. You'll say, how could a child have a wife? Well, the Torah said, in libno yadena. So it's very simple, right? So then if it would be true, what Reish Lakish is considering, this innovation, so then he became matzinu ishut lekatan, then that would mean that a child can have a wife. So that proves that you cannot be miyayat to a katan. Says the Gemara, if ever I heard opposite, upside down logic, this is it. I understand. So what are you saying? From here we prove that you cannot make your child a husband. So then why do I need a pasuk to say only someone who commits adultery with a man's wife, but not someone who commits adultery with a child's wife? There ain't no such thing as a child's wife. You just said so. What's the Torah telling me? Not someone who commits adultery with a child's wife. Show me a child's wife, please. That the Torah had to tell me this. Adarabba, what you're proving is that a child can have a wife. And therefore, I need a pasuk to tell me that even though he has a wife, but someone who sleeps with that wife is not the equivalent of sleeping with an adult's wife. Okay, that's a tremendous kiddush that the pasuk needed to tell me. So there would be kedushin to the katan, but it's an insufficient kedushin to be machayev another person misa. By the way, we do find a concept of a kedushin that's machayev things other than misa for adultery. Remember, we have the shivcha charufa, where there's an element of kedushin, but insufficient to actually be machayev someone misa. Okay, so it would only be b'chayev or malchus if she commits adultery. Be b'chayev or korban. Fine. So maybe that's what it means. So let's see that inside. Elamai eino miayit. So you're telling me so that there's no way for a katan to have a wife. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me that if you commit adultery with a non-existent thing, that you're potter? Of course you're potter. Why does the Torah have to tell me something that doesn't exist? So therefore, if anything, let's prove from here that actually you can be miyayit to a katan, and therefore the Torah needs to be miyayit, right? Well, says Rav Ashi, that's really cute, and it makes a lot of sense. But you know what? There's a simple alternative to what the Torah is referring to, which has nothing to do with accepting yi'ud on behalf of your son. And what is it talking about? Very simple. Suppose we have a child who's 9 years old. Now remember, if a child is 9 years old, that means that he has genitals. And if, in terms of the deraisa, in terms of the halacha, and that means that if he has genitals, then there's a concept of intercourse. And if there's a concept of intercourse, then since the Torah said, Yivama yavo aleha, so let's say this child had a brother who was an adult and was married and who died without any children, and now he is a brother that is chayev in yivama. So, suppose he would sleep with that yivama over the age of 9, it would be a kosher bia. And therefore, the Torah says, V'yimma, that makes her an isha to him in every way. And therefore, if that would be the case, since midiraita chazulayim, we're going to learn this like Rashi. Tosfos does not hold to this, because Tosfos says, listen, the bottom line is, the Gemara in Yevamah said, osu bia shel katan kemaimer begadol, which means that it's only a din derabbanan. Rashi disagrees here and understands the meaning to be that it would be possible, according to this Gemara, for a child to actually have a wife by having taken his brother's wife, B'yibum, and comes along the Torah to say, true, he does have a wife, because the Torah was the one that gave the Zika to this Yavama, but it's not enough of a wife to be Mechayev, someone who sleeps with her on Misa as adultery. Okay? Therefore, would have nothing to do with the din of Yehud, because we have an alternative of a child wife, so to speak. Something like a wife. So, matatema, given to bini raisa, chazyala. You might have thought, put the two together. The Torah has created Zika. Remember, Zika means a relationship that is a given between the Yavam and the Yavama, the former wife of his now deceased brother. So, since we take that as a given, and furthermore, we take as a given ubiato bia, that he is capable of bia, and therefore, if yavama yavo aleha, so then he would be her husband. Then maybe you would think that habo aleha mitchayev beshetish. Therefore, I need the pasuk to tell me only ish ki enaf et eshet ish, not eshet katan. Where would there be an eshet katan? A yavam who's a katan over the age of 9. Okay, so now we're left without any kind of proof about Reish Lakish's question. Is there this new innovation in the Torah that there is a possibility of a father creating a state of Kedushin for a Katan, his son? Do we have any proof? My Havila, like, what are we going to do? Oh, I'll bring you a Raya. Tashma. Omre Baiba, Omre Rabbi Yamai. Ein yi'ud ela begadol. There is no such thing as yi'ud if it's not to an adult. And ein yi'ud ela mida'at. That's a little bit strange. You can only achieve yi'ud if da'at is, what it seems to be saying is, if da'at is there for the yi'ud to take place, which seems to be the same thing. Because if it's a katan, there's no da'at. And there obviously, then he would have to be a gadol. So I don't understand, why are these two different things, asked the Gemara. Tarte? What do you mean, the? These aren't two things. You said one thing. You said that in order for there to be yud, we need dot, and we need for him to be a godol. That's exactly the same thing. Dot equals godol. No, you don't understand. The Brighton wasn't saying two different things. The Brighton was explaining itself. Matam ka'amar. Why do we say that ein yud ela begadol? I mean, it doesn't say that in the Torah. It just says, im livno yadena, which is mashma, whatever that son is, however old he is. Because since lefish ein yud elamidat, since yud is a form of kedushin, and kedushin requires that, so because of that, it put it in these two ways, so you should understand where it's coming from and not try to find the remez in the dinim of yud kwayud. Or you know what? Maybe it means something entirely different. Maybe the Braita is saying two separate things. First of all, the boy has to be old enough to have his own das. Secondly, you need to have the das of the oma. It's not referring to the man. It's referring to the woman. And you would need midaat dida. She has to be maskin to the kedushin because she's the one that's accepting the kedushin. And the Kedushin's not going back to the father. Now that, we'll see how that relates to the opinions we had before. So it may mean that, but this is really a machlokas, because according to most Rishonim, and the Rabbeinu Tam speaks this out specifically in the Tosfos, we don't need her to agree to Yiyud, and therefore when it means Midas, it means she has to know that you're doing the Yiyud. Why? Because if she's being Mekabel at the Kedushin, so she has to realize that he is letting her off of the work that she's supposed to be doing in exchange for a kedushin. That's what I mean. Okay, but in either event, it's two different things. The first part that says Ela B'Gadol is referring to the male has to be a gadol, which addresses Reish Lakish's question. There is, in fact, no innovation that allows a father to be mekabel kedushin on behalf of his son, who is a katan, A. And furthermore, Ein yud el midat, meaning the woman has to, according to Tosfos, know about the fact of the yud, or according to Rashi, apparently, has to be maskima to the yud. Tani Abaye Bereda Rabbi Abba, where do we get this from? Well, he says there's a braita. The braita says the lashon of ye'ada. It's really a strange language. Where does this idea of yud come from? Why not Asherlon Nasaf, that's what we're talking about, Asherlokicha, or Asherlo, whatever. I mean, but whoever heard of this word of Yi'ud as an alternative for Kedushin? So why do we, I mean, it's obvious what it's talking about, right? Sheirag Sutavo Natan. So, I mean, that's clear that the Yi'ud means Kedushin. But why use a word like that? Says the Braita, you know why? Because it is based on the word for de'a, even though it's reversal of ot yot. To be miyaed in the Torah is to be, in the modern Hebrew, miyadea, to let someone know. And therefore, to be miyaed was the original Torah's remez, that this relationship comes about when, after purchasing her for the purpose of amhut, he now lets her know she's off of the work, she does not work for him any longer, and therefore she now is going to use that in order to become his wife. Again, question according to Rashi, that it means she has to agree, according to Tosfos, she has to know, but the bottom line is that the Torah shows a special language there, shetzarich liyada, hu tani la vuhu amar la, and he, Abaye, said this over, and he wants to explain what that means. That obviously this din is special, not in all kedushin, but dafka in yiyud. And why would that be? Because the Tana must agree with Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Since Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, we've been assuming all along holds that ma'ot harishonot is lav l'kedushin nitnu, and therefore, according to him, we need to question. So where is the kedushin? If the money that was originally given to the father isn't the Kedushin, so then when did the Kedushin happen? It happened when you let her know that you are giving her this as Kedushin. That's why Yi'ud and only Yi'ud requires this idea of her knowledge as a Ketana. Mashenken, if she's a Ketana generally and the father accepts Kedushin for her, which is not the case here according to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the father accepts Kedushin, so then, we don't need for her to be involved in any way. Okay, so this was one approach to the Braisa. Now, Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, remember, and we said before, and what about according to Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who learns that Aliba de Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda, Ma'ot HaRishonot was given to Kedushin? Now we're finally getting to that discussion. Okay, where does that discussion take place? So that's right here. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, no. Even if you understand that the Ma'ot HaRishonot were given to Kedushin, you still would need to let her know in this particular case, and it's not dependent on our analysis. Why did the Torah say you have to let her know? That's not the point. Even if there were Kedushin originally, the change in her status is nonetheless mechayev you to tell her, because it says the Lashon of Yada. So Shai Nehacha, this is not normal Kedushin, because the Torah says you've got to let her know. So even if you want to say that the original money was the makor of her Kedushin, and therefore we attribute the Kedushin to the father, not to her, nonetheless, the Torah insisted at this point you have to actually tell her. Okay, so then this would have Lamaisa very important nafkaminas lahalacha. Was this the father that was mekabel the Kedushin? So then I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Once he was mekabel Kedushin, he won't be able to sell her. Masha Enkein, if it was not the father who was mekabel the Kedushin, and even I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, he has no problem in accepting Kedushin subsequently. Okay. Now, we said that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't know the Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds, apparently, that Ma'ot HaRishonot lav l'kedushin nitnu. I want to please get to the original source. I mean, I've been working here on everybody's telling me what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds. I don't even know what this is all about. So if you don't mind, can we go to the source? Okay, my Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What's all of this discussion that we've been having about Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Shita? The Tanya. Since the Torah puts together, im lo ye'ada ve'hevda, so remember, we learned a lot of things from there, that if the relationship is to pidyon, then that would mean that you can only do yi'ud when you do pidyon. Now, when can you do pidyon? Only when there is left enough money that there would be a pruta left off in the gira on kesef. Remember, you have to be able to reduce in a prorated basis. You would have to be able to reduce the value so that there's a pruta left. Because if there's not even a pruta left, then there's no way for her to buy herself out. So if it's too late in the day for there to be a pruta left, you only paid $500 for 6 years. So then today there's no pruta left. You know, it's already an hour before sunset and there's less than a pruta left to the lien on her, and you can't buy her out. But if you can't buy her out, you also cannot do yiyud. And therefore, if you're going to do yiyud, there would have to be shahut b'yom kedei pidya. You would have to have that shava pruta left in order to be able to make a pidyon, because it's put together. Asher lo yada vehevda. Now, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda makes a comment on that. And it seems very clear from his comment that he's telling you that the original money was not given for Kedushin. Because Mikan Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, this proves that im yetz shehut biyom kidei lasot imo shava pruta mekudeshet v'im lav eino mekudeshet. So this would mean that if we don't have any way of getting her a shava pruta, how would we get her a shava pruta? By telling her, you no longer have to work that last shava pruta that you would have had to work for me. Well, if it's too late in the day for her to do a work that's worth a shava pruta, so then there's no way of giving her any kesef kedushin. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Why isn't there? Because the original money, what happened to the original $500? Well, that wasn't given for kedushin. That was given to accept her chiyah for working. So now I'm only going to be able to be kena her by being meichel a pruta worth of work. If I don't have a pruta worth of work, I can't say, well, but the original money was given for kedushin. So apparently, I mean, that's what he seems to be saying, isn't it? Where else does he come off of saying that you would need to have a pruta? So alma kasavar ma'ot harishonot lav lekedushin nitnu. So then what would that mean? It would mean that essentially Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, the money for the Kedushin is the mechila of a shava pruta. That's what it is. And you can't say, but what about the original $500? That's irrelevant. That had nothing to do with the Kedushin, you see? That's where we arrived at the conclusion, which turns out, according to Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, to be actually not a real absolute conclusion, because there are alternatives. But the way we've been assuming is that this implies that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is saying, since Ma'ot HaRishonot Lav LeKiddushin Nitnu, so therefore you need to have a Shofar Pruta left. Now, the way I understand the sugya, which for some reason is not the way the Achronim understand the sugya, is like this. Aliba, the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, please just pay attention literally for 30 seconds, but the Svara is so clear. There are two ways of understanding what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda was saying. One way of understanding is that if there's a Shofar Pruta of work that she could still do in the course of the day, so in other words, there's 20 minutes left. In those 20 minutes, she would be able to knit a yarmulke, right? Okay, well, then there's obviously a Shofar Pruta of work that's left in her. So he could say, okay, forget it. That Shofar Pruta for that yarmulke, I'm giving you, right? Okay, so he's being mekadesh with a Shofar Pruta. Now, if that's the case, then what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that the original money that was put into the purchase is irrelevant, correct? But what if Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda means something entirely different? What if Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, since the Kedusha has to come out of the original money, therefore, if there isn't a pruta of money left at the time, not a pruta of work, but a pruta of the original money, which would mean that you'd have to prorate it over all of the minutes that were there from the beginning over the course of the next 6 years. Nothing to do with how much work she could do in that time, but whether there's value of a pruta left if we deduct all of the minutes from now, the moment of the sale, till now. So then Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't be saying that the original money wasn't given for Kedushin. He's saying the original money was given for Kedushin, but the Kedushin is only Chal now, and therefore there has to be sufficient money now. Where would he get that from? From the fact that the Torah put it together. Yud with Bidyan. Exactly. So, Im lo yada vehevda. So you see clearly that the Torah is saying, even the original money, there's got to be a pruta left of it. So that's a totally different meaning. It would be a totally different meaning of how to define the pruta as well. Okay? That's how I believe the Gemara is understanding now the difference in how to look at Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Nachum bar Yitzchak says, what's the problem? Even if the original money was given for Kedusha, but it's different over here because the Torah put it together with Hevda. And since it put it together with Hevda, it means you cannot do Yi'ud unless you can do Hevda. That's all. If there's no money left for Hevda, then there's no money left for Yi'ud. So the whole thing adds up. Omer Rava, Omer Reb Nachman, I have another fascinating diuk from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, you can tell your daughter, go out and be mekabel the Kedushin for yourself. As a father, even though this daughter is a child, but since the father is transferring his right of accepting Kedushin, he's saying, listen, my das is to accept Kedushin from whoever you take that money from. That would be fine. Even though she doesn't have das to be kena, but since by Kedushin, Stosis explains, there would be dat acheret makneh, so then she would be able to get the money, so it would be a kinyan on the money, and the father had given over the rights to be mekabel that money. That's what I learned from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, nothing to do with Yehud. I derive it from the case of Yehud, but it's not a din only in Yehud. So from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, I learned that a person can tell his daughter, even though she's a ketana, go out and be mekabel your kedushin. And this is actually the way the Rambam paskens. Didn't Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda say that ma'ot harishonot lav lekedushin nitnu? And nonetheless, if there's a shava pruta left, then you can actually be mekadesh her from that shava pruta. Okay, so then if that's the case, why is it any different than a normal kedushin? She's accepting the kedushin. So here too, the father said, listen, you go and accept the kedushin. She's accepting the kedushin. Okay, great. V'yomar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, I got another diuk. I have an amazing diuk that changes the way we understood the sugya before. Someone has a loan against someone else, and there's a mashkin on that loan, then the loan, not the mashkin, the loan is sufficient to be used, even though mekadesh b'milva ain't a mekudeshes. But if there's a mashkin, she is mekudeshes. Why? Mida Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Look, what did Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda say? Lava ma Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, that the original money, lava kedushin nitnu, right? Okay, so what is the kedushin? The fact that he's letting her off of that last shavah pruta. But that's a loan. He already gave that money, and now that money is owed him in terms of her work. And he's going to be mevater on that money in terms of his work. But I thought you can't be mekadesh b'milva. So it must be. But since in this case, we've got the best mashkin available, her persona, I say her person. So she is a mashkin of that money. And we see that kimishayer b'shava pruta, that's enough, and she's mekudeshet, if there's a shava pruta left over. So then what's the difference if you make a normal kedushin that way? You have a loan with a mashkin, you're mekadesh with that loan, not with the mashkin. This is not the same sugya we had before. Tana Rabban. Okay, now we've got down to the bottom line. What is Rabbi Yossi really saying? So Tana Rabban. The Braita says like this, how do you go about doing yud? Well, you bring two witnesses and you say to her, Hareyat mekudeshetli, Hareyat muresetli, and you could say this even the last minute of the last day of the 6 years, afilo besof sheish, afilo somuch l'shkiat hachama, and from that point on, you have to treat her as your wife. There's no longer any din of shifchus on her. So kam minag ishus v'enanog minag shifchut. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, here is the primary statement of Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda in situ. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda emer, only im yeshut b'yom kedei la'asot imo sheve pruta mekudeshet, v'im lav, ena mekudeshet. So now, I say, let us look at this as being analogous to a case. Now, it's not clear what we're supposed to be looking to as analogous, but we'll talk about it in a moment. This is basically analogous to a case in where a guy says to a woman, you should be mekudeshet to me mei achshav, from now, ulacha shoshim yom. Somebody comes along during those 30 days and says, hareyat mekudeshet li. So who is the husband at the end of the 30 days? The first guy. Why? Because he said, from now. So that was like a condition. I'm giving you this kedushin to be married to me now on condition that in 30 days, I will still want to be married to you. And this is the same as the case we just spoke about. What is analogous? I understand. Marshall, who? Marshall, what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said, or Marshall, what the Chachamim said? Tell me what's analogous. I mean, do you mean what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said? I mean, he says, "Im yeshuut b'yom kedei la'asot imo shavah pruta mekudeshet v'im lav lo." So then, how do we learn out from that as it's being analogous to a kedushin that's going to be chal mi'achshav? Excuse me, it's the exact opposite. It's not chal mi'achshav. That's why he's saying it's only chal from the time where we have the shavah pruta. So it can't possibly be analogous from Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Om revach brei d'rava. No, he's saying, what the Rabbanan are saying, their vision of Yud is that it's retroactive and that it's the equivalent of a person saying Me'achshav. And since it's Me'achshav, I don't care if it's the very last second of the last day of the 6 years. All he said was, if I still want you in 6 years, then you're mine from now. So who cares how late in the day it is? That's what we're explaining. Well, I mean, obviously. I mean, what else does it mean? Why do I need to make analogies? That's exactly what he's talking about. It's not analogous. I mean, what? Because you see, if it wouldn't been for the mushel, if it wouldn't have been for the analogous too, I would have said that, you know what? Even if you never said me'achshav, because when you go ahead, according to Rabbanan, and you accept the $500 from this guy for your daughter, did the guy ever say anything that if I want to be miyater till at the end of the 6 years? No, he didn't say it should be retroactive. So then that should mean that even if somebody gives kiddushin and he does not say me'achshav, He just gives Kedushin. He says in 30 days that it would still be retroactive. I mean, that's what's happening over here. That's why the Braita has to speak out. No, that even though in the case of Yud, you don't have to speak it out. That's because the Torah created that concept with the concept of Yud. It's innate in the nature of Yud. But if you want to utilize that and to make it analogous to a normal Kedushin, then it would only be analogous if you said the word Me'achshav. But if you didn't say Me'achshav, then it would not be retroactive. Kamash Malan, that's what it's coming to tell me. In a normal Kedushin, of course you would need to say Me'achshav. Tanya Ida, then we have another Braita, which is a fascinating mirror image. Somebody sells his daughter, and then he goes and he's Mekabel Kedushin from another person. Now, he never wanted this rich billionaire who's buying his daughter, which he understands. Yeah, this guy figures he's going to get my daughter as his little concubine, you know. I'm going to sell him my daughter for $300 million. Oh, man, he's got a dirty mind. But let me tell you, I got a guy standing right next to me, and I'm going to accept Kedushin from that guy after I accept the money from this rich fellow. And that's what he goes in and does. Well, if he does that, he can laugh all the way to the bank. Hareza Sichek Badon, he's laughing to the bank, and it all worked out. And she now is Mekudesha to the second guy, not to the first guy. So says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because after all, the Yud is not retroactive. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, if the rich guy wants to be Meyayeter, he can. And that would be Mavat, there would be no Kedushin, because it would be retroactive. Mashal, so here we have the opposite Mashal. Look at this, Mashal. Mashal Omer Leisha. Here it's analogous to a case where a guy said to a woman, you should be Mekudesha to me after 30 days. But he didn't say Mekudesha to me from now. He just said be Mekudesha to me after 30 days. If somebody comes during that period and gives her Kedushin, she would be Mekudesha to the second guy, because the Kedushin that he's trying to create at the end of 30 days, it's too late. She's married to someone else. And here we also ask, when you say it's analogous, analogous to whom? The Rabbanan? It's the opposite. The Rabbanan says that if he wants to be Me'ayit, he can. So that's exactly the opposite of the analogy that you were creating, right? Because they say, Imrotz Liyayit, he can't be Me'ayit. And that it's not going to, therefore, prevent the second guy will not be chal. And here you're saying it's analogous to a case where it will be chal. Ella, in this case, it's literally a mirror image of the price we said before. In this case, Rav Acha Brei de Rava explained that what we mean is, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's analogous to a guy who made a kedushin without saying me'achshav. Then if another person comes along and gives a pruta, in fact, you would not be able to be Me'ayit, because it was not retroactive. Isn't that obvious, by the way? I mean, like Pshita. Again, it's the same sugya mamish mirror image. Isn't it Pshita? I mean, that's what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no? No, because I might have thought that in the case that we're talking about over here, that he never says, la'achar shloshim yom, but what about if he said beferish? It should only be chal, la'achar shloshim yom. That would be fine. Of a year, at the time that he took the money, did he say, you will be my wife after 30 days? No. Did he say, you will be my wife if I decide to be Me'ayit you? No. Did he ever discuss taking her as a wife? No. That was the whole deal, that the father figures, okay, but I know what he's really tippy-toeing down there for. But what if he had said it? So maybe if he had said it, then it could be that it would be retroactive. Because, I mean, it's clear I'm giving this money, even though I didn't say Me'achshav. Therefore, Kamash Balan, no. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is exactly like the case of the case that we're claiming is analogous. That since he has the right to do Yud, so then that means he has the right from the time that he took that money, and he never said from now. And that would be the same as the case of Kedushin, where he didn't say from now, but only because you didn't say from now. Okay, now we have another Braita. The other Braita, it talks about a new issue. How fundamental is the ability to do Yehud to the actual Kenyan? Now remember, we said before that from Asher Lo Ya'ada, that if you wanted to go and sell her to a relative who is actually not allowed to marry her because she's an erva to him, so then we said that it would not be a good sale because there needs to be at least the theoretical possibility of yield, right? And we talked about what about if it was an Isser Lav and you wanted to marry her to a Kohen Gadol and she was an Almana. That's how we got in the whole discussion that we started discussing today. Now, in the Braita here says that suppose a guy makes a Tanai and he says, listen, I'm selling you my daughter, but it's only on condition that you're never going to do yield. So Rebbe Meir says, well, okay, then that's a Tanai. And he's not able to do yield. So says Rebbe Meir. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, that's a meaningless tnai. Im ratzeli yaed mi yaed, because we have as one of our Gavi concepts, hamatnea mashakatu b'torah, tno batel. And that's what the guy has done. He's been matnea mashakatu b'torah. The Torah said you could be miyayed, and he's creating a new concept of an Amma Yivriya without yod, batel umavotel. And kol hamatnea mashakatu b'torah, tno batel. So what are you telling me that according to Rebbe Meir says it's a good tnai, that Rebbe Meir holds that you are able to make a Tanai against what it is that the Torah said is the definition of a thing? That's crazy. We know that Rebbe Meir is the one who Bedafka holds that Kol HaMaaseh HaMashekatuv B'Torah Tano Batel. There's a famous case, Vatanya. Somebody marries a woman, and he says to her, listen, let's get married on condition that I don't owe you anything. I don't have to give you She'er Kisut Va'ona. What's the din? The din is that she's mikudesh, this is a normal wife, it's tanai is a bunch of garbage, and he has to owe her to the ksuz, she'er ksuz, for you know, the same way as anyone else. So says Rebbe Meir. Ho, 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 ho. So says Rebbe Meir. Why? Because it was mashakatuv b'Torah. Rebbe Yehuda says, well, now wait a minute. The part about the clothing and the part about the parnasa, so the she'er ksuz, that's a monetary chiyuv. So when he's saying on condition that you don't have against me, what does that mean? He means on condition that you do not demand that right. You should be moichel. Okay, she can be moichelat a monetary chiyuv. He's not saying that it doesn't exist. He's just saying that you will not claim it, right? She'ein lach alai. That's okay. But as far as ona is concerned, which is not up to her to forgive because it's not monetary, this means providing her with intercourse. How could she be moichel that? That's not a mechila. That's an innate chiyuv of the kiddushin. So if that is saying you don't have the right to be tovea me for that, she can't be moichel at that. That's a din in what it means to be a wife. Therefore, says Rebbe, there's a big difference in the she'er and the ksut, which is a davar shebimamon tna'o kayam, because he's just saying be moichel. In the ona, then it's batel. But anyway, meanwhile, Rebbe Meir is contradicting himself. Here he says, you can make a tanai that there's no yi'ud. And when it comes to Kedushin, he says, you cannot make a tanai even that there's no sher v'ksut. Obviously not for Ona, right? How do we explain that? Ah, says Chizkiah, we have a special pasuk over here. Because why does it need to say, ki imkor ish et bito le'ama? Obviously it's le'ama. I mean, the whole situation is she worked 6 years, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I understand. So, of course, he sold her as an Amma. Therefore, when it says Le Amma, it's introducing a brand new idea, says Rebbe Meir. Namely, that it is possible to sell your daughter for only an Amma, where the guy will not be able to do yield. Whoa. Now, that is a whole new approach. So, that means that there's two different dinim that the Torah is creating in the Mechira of a daughter. So there's actually three din. One din is you can accept Kedushin. One din is you can sell your daughter for an Amma with an understanding that that could turn into Yiyud. And one is you can sell your daughter as an Amma with no possibility of translating that into marriage. Which means that Pa'amim She'enu Mochra Ela La'amma Bilvad. Who? What did the Rabbanan do with this pasuk? But they disagree fundamentally with this idea. They say, Hamiboyle leketatanya. Le'ama means you can sell your daughter as an ama. You can sell her to someone who's not allowed to marry her, like a mamzer, a nesin. You can be mocha lipsulin. Why? Because theoretically, kedushin would be tofsin in that case. That's what it's coming to tell me. So that even though you would expect, nobody's going to go marry a woman if it's an Isser D'Oraisa, but still, you can go ahead and sell her. But isn't that obvious? If a father can be Mekabel Kedushin from a Mamzer, the Kedushin is Chal, because Kedushin is Chal B'chai Ve'lavin. So if he can be Mekabel Kedushin from a Mamzer, shouldn't he be able to sell her to a Mamzer, which is much less directly associated with the Isser of the sexual connection? It's a step away, but he's even allowed to sell her Kedushin, which is directly associated with the Isser. So how do you explain that? If he's allowed to be Makacha, obviously he's allowed to sell her. I don't need a Pusik. No, not true. Because the reason, perhaps, that he can accept Kedushin is because a father has much deeper rights to a daughter's Kedushin than he does to a daughter's sale. Why? You can accept Kedushin even when she is a Nara, but you cannot sell her when she's a Nara. She's Yotze B'Simonim. And if she's Yotze B'Simonim Akshav, Kol Shekin, he can't now sell her with Simonim. That's absurd, right? That was the Lima. So maybe that gives her more rights for actually the sale. So Kedushin. So therefore, just because it can be Makadisher, therefore Yom Kirena, therefore he can sell her. No. That's why the Torah had to write it out clearly. Okay, gentlemen, it's been so much fun. Whoa, we have looked at the most incredible new issues today, the different implications, which are mechadish, totally new things. We never dreamt of this before. The possibility that there exists kedushin for a katan through yud. Wow. The fact that it's possible to hand over to a katana the rights to be mekabelet her own kedushin, even though she doesn't have das, it doesn't. Oh my gosh, amazing kedushin! The interrelationship of the kesef that was given at the beginning for amhut, for kedushin, or for simply mechila, which leads to a brand new halacha that it's possible, at least according to the interpretation we have of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that the whole sugya we had before, we forgot something very important. We said a mekadesh b'milva and a mekudeshes, and then we had a question of mekadesh b'mashkan. And if it's a milva with a mashkan, then apparently it is mekudeshes. Oh my gosh, absolutely unbelievable. We never thought of this before. And then the interrelationships of the status from the moment of a kedushin might be chal retroactively till the point where it is chal, and the question of somebody else gave kedushin during that period and how that relates to yiyun. And then when is there really an opportunity to make $1 million off your daughter and nonetheless prevent her from being taken advantage of? Oh, that's a big one. Okay, a lot of fascinating issues. And we have a whole new approach over here about the need for the possibility of yiyud in order for there to be a possibility of sale. There may be a whole new type of sale for amahut, which does not allow for any possibility of yiyud. Mind-boggling. In one daf, we've overturned so many of the assumptions that we had until now that you can see our dear Capitan has just put his head down and said, oh my God, I don't know how to deal with this. And it's going to take a while for him to get to a point where we're ready to say, find it on. But all right, hopefully we'll get there soon. Meanwhile, I wish you a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos Kodesh with tons of the Suras Tevas of the real kind and the Kiyum Havo Shia Tamecho Vorechet Nachalatecha Urein Venasema Adolam.